You know, I was in the dentist office yesterday, and I don't know about you, but when I spend time at a dentist office, especially in like the dentist chair, have you guys been in a chair before? Hopefully all of you. If you haven't, you need to go. It's time. Make that appointment. Just go for it. So I'm in the dentist chair, and I'm thinking what most of you probably think of the dentist chair. I wonder how a dentist office is like church. Have you guys have thought that before? I mean, surely Jane has thought. They share every day. Like, how is a dentist office like? This was my conversation in my head, you know. I guess I'm a pastor, so I think of it a lot. So I'm in the dentist, I'm like, okay, how is this like church? And I got to thinking, my routine that morning, like before I went to the dentist, it was an 8 o'clock appointment. And I woke up that morning, and guess what I did before I went to the dentist office? Brush your teeth, right? Now, that's a normal thing for me. I just want y'all to know. But normally, you know, it's more like a 15-second routine. Put it on, you brush, get all good, then you spit, you know. This was like, you know, a four-minute deal. You know, it's like you're just getting it. It's like I've got to get this extra clean, right? And then I did something that I never do. What's that? You don't do that either, do you? I get the floss, and I'm like, how do I do this? Oh, yeah, put it, oh, yeah, here we go. And I'm like flossing, like, you know, I've got to get it, like, perfect. Because why? I'm going to the dentist. Who's going to clean my teeth? So I've got to get them perfectly clean before I get them clean, right? And so I'm like, okay, here I go. So I'm perfectly clean, and I get in the chair, and I have my mouth open, and she's cleaning them and everything. And then Dr. Randy Taylor comes in, and he's looking in my mouth, and I've got one thought. Cavities, hide. Right? Like, that's what I'm thinking. Okay, cavities, please just hide. Just don't let him see anything wrong with my mouth. Have you guys do that when you're at the dentist's office? Like, if there's something wrong, just, you know, put your tongue over it. Like, you don't see that. Right? So here's two things I did why I went to the dentist's office and why I was there. First of all, I cleaned extra good in order to go to the dentist's office who was going to clean my teeth. And then the second thing I did is I tried to hide any imperfections in my mouth. And I thought, you know, that's what a lot of us do at church. You know, you ever thought about that? Like, when we come to church, a lot of times, here's Wednesday night, what do? Man, we get extra clean, right? Like, we walk in here, and we walk in here different. Our mouth's a little bit different. Some of our clothing might be a little different. We have a different attitude. We greet people, like, bless one another. You know, like, we try to have this, like, different dialogue, and, you know, we're asking different questions than we normally ask. And, man, on the way to church, what do? Leviticus 19:2. Be holy. Oh, come on. Get the verse. Oh, I forgot to read the chapter. What? Abraham, Isaac. Okay, got it. You know, we try to, like, get ourselves ready for church. And sometimes we do stuff that we don't do the rest of the week. Why? Because we're going to church. So we clean ourselves up to come to church. And then here's what I think we also do, which I want to beg you not to do tonight. We try to hide any imperfections when we hear the word of God being preached over us. Like, here's your temptation right now. Okay, while Corey's preaching, just close my ears. Whatever I struggle with, just let it be hidden from God so that I don't have to deal with it. Right? Because the reason I didn't want Randy Taylor to see a cavity was why? I don't like shots, I don't like the drill, and I don't like fillings. Because they do what? They hurt. It's painful when you have to get fixed. And for us, we come into here, and one reason we try to hide our sin, we say, okay, God, don't let your word penetrate my heart. Don't let your word show me where I'm weak, is because we don't want to go through the painful process of change. We don't like repentance. We don't like acknowledging, God, I'm weak and I'm broken. Man, that word that you just preached to me, I need to put it into practice. I need to repent of some stuff. I need to change some stuff, and it's going to hurt, but guess what? It's for my good. Because you see, if I did hide from the dentist a bad cavity, it's not going to help, right? Because 6 months down the road, what's going to happen? Jane will tell you, like, your tooth is going to start rotting out. It's like, I can't eat now because I hid it. And that's what happens with our sin. When we hide from the word of God, our sin eats us alive. And the pain we try to miss through repentance and change, that pain comes a whole lot worse later on, because we're living in unrepentant sin. So here's what I want you to do this morning. I want you to think about, man, is that how I've viewed this place? Am I hiding from God's word? I'm just like, man, I don't want to hear anything. I don't have to change because that's painful. I want you to just forget that. And I want you to come away with this. You know what? I'm broken. I'm not perfect. And here's what I hope. The Word of God finds a cavity in my soul tonight. And I hope God takes a needle and a drill and is like, and you know, the water is just splashing everywhere. Like, it's going to be good because he's going to just rip that tooth out. And there's going to be blood and yuck. But guess what? I'm going to be able to eat in a week. I'm going to be able to heal from that. So I just want you to think about this. Don't hide when God speaks to you. But instead, bring it forth and let him do his work. Let him cleanse you so you can be healed. With that approach to the Word of God, let's look at Luke. Luke chapter 20, and we're going to begin reading there, and then we're going to go to Luke chapter 21. We're actually reading the very end of chapter 20, some verses we covered last week, but we're going to hit on them a little bit more tonight. Luke chapter 20, if you have there. We're going to begin reading in verse 45. And here's what we're going to see tonight. Jesus, remember he just had some hard questions, all about worldview and different philosophies. And what did Jesus do? He listened, he answered, and he what? Starts with a P. Provoked. That's what Jesus did. So now he's using this opportunity to start teaching the people. And here's what I think he teaches. He teaches about false religion, and then he teaches about true religion. He holds the two up. And here's what I want you to think tonight. Do I have true religion, or do I have false religion? So here's what the text says, 20 verse 45. And in the hearing of all the people, he said to his disciples, "Beware of the scribes." Here's what they do. "Who like to walk around in long robes and love greetings in the marketplace and the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at the feast, who devour widows' houses and for pretense make long prayers, they will receive the greater condemnation." Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box, and he saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. And he said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them, for they all contributed out of their" what? "Abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all she" what? "Had to live on." She put it all in. She is all in. And that's what I want us to be, at least by the end of this message, to be all in for the sake of Christ. I'm going to pray, and then you may be seated. Father, we pray that you bless your word. We pray that you be the speaker and the listener, and we pray that you would get glory tonight. We pray this in Jesus' good name. Amen. You may be seated. So the first thing Jesus does is he holds up false religion. So I want us to kind of look here at false religion for just a little bit. Here's what Jesus says about false religion. He says, "Beware of the scribes." You remember last week the scribes were giving him a high five? They're like, "Yeah, we told those Sadducees there was a resurrection. Yeah, Jesus is on our side." He's like, "Look, beware of the scribes. Here's what they do." And he goes through and he lists what the scribes do. And he says, here's the first thing they like to do. They like to walk around in long robes. Now, why do they walk around in long robes? Well, here's what they want. They want people to see on the outside their works. They're all about attention. So here's kind of point one on false religion. They want attention. They're putting on long robes. Because if you have a long robe on, you look very holy. You look very spiritual, right? I remember when I went to Rome, and we were going to the Vatican. Does anybody know what the Vatican is? It's like this little sovereign nation where the Pope's residence is. It's where, you know, the Sistine Chapel and all those famous things are. And we're going to the Vatican, and there's this little gift shop before you get to the Vatican. And they sell, I'm not kidding you, Pope costumes, like the whole thing, like the hat and the robe and everything. And I was like, I'm so tempted to buy one of those. Like, would that not just be cool to have like a Pope costume? I mean, imagine if I came in like a Pope costume. Like, you'd be like, whoa. I mean, like, I don't know what you would do. That would just be strange, right? But imagine if I put on a Pope costume, would I then be the Pope? No, right? It would just be a weird kind of thing that I'm wearing, right? Because clothes don't make a person someone, correct? Well, here's what the scribes assumed. If I dress a certain way, if I look good on the outside, then that will make me someone. So here's the first thing they did. They wanted people to care about the outside. And that's one thing that false religion does. It's all about what? The outside. It's all about what you can see. So people who love false religion, who are not really seeking after God with all their heart, all they care about is, hey, as long as mom and dad think I'm good, as long as my friends see this fake person on the outside, it doesn't matter about my heart. It doesn't matter about what's in here. It just matters that people see me and they say, wow, look at her. She is such a good Christian. Look at him. He's doing so great. You see, it's all about the outside with false religion. They want people to notice them on the outside. They want people to notice their devotion to God. And the second thing it says these false religious people do is they love greetings and the best seats in the house. Now, here's what religious people want who are in false religion. They want to be treated differently. They want to be treated as superior than everyone else. So they want, when they walk into a room, people to say, hey, look at, hey, come up here. Man, you need the highest seat because you're obviously holier than we are. See, they want people to notice when they come in, and they want everybody to look at them and then give them preeminence in whatever place they're at. And I ask you, when you come in here to Impact, do you come in wanting people to notice you and to kind of elevate you, or do you come in here and notice other people? That's a pretty good question to think about. When you come in here, do you want people to notice you, like these scribes? Hey, look at me. Give me the best seat. Get up. Let me sit under the coffee table. Or do you go in and look for everybody else? Do you make sure everyone else has a seat? Do you care more about others than about yourself? And then it says, man, they devour widows' homes. Like, imagine this. These scribes, they're going to do ministry at, like, widows' homes, and they're devouring, like, the pies they're making. And that's all they care about. I'm going to go to widow. I'm going to eat her pie, and then I'm going to leave. Like, that's all I care about. She makes an awesome pie. I'm going to eat it. Yeah, I'll pray for you, and then I'm going to go. But all they care about was, like, ripping these widows off. It was all fake. It was just show. And then the last thing it says is, for pretense, they make long prayers. So here's what the scribes were doing. They were making these long prayers because they wanted everyone to see their spiritual devotions so they would think they're close to God when really the spiritual devotion had nothing to do with God. And I'd ask you tonight, why do you do your spiritual devotions? Some of you are like, I don't. So this is obviously not about me. It's not, but not in a good way. Why do you do your spiritual devotions? Let me ask this for us. Why do you work on memorizing your verse every week? Why do you do that? What's the motivation behind that? There's probably two motivations. Number one, Corey's going to ask me and I want to be able to tell him. Okay? And I mean, that's not a bad motivation. But if that's your only motivation, then you're only doing it for what? For me to see you, to be seen, to be heard. You see, why you should be memorizing scripture is because you believe this. That's the word of God. And I want to memorize it because that is my God. And I want to know him and savor him and see him. And I love him so much, I want to meditate and memorize his word. You see, scripture memory is not about quoting words. It's about getting to know God better. So why are you memorizing scripture? Is it to know God or so people will know you memorize your scripture? You see, false religion is all about, just so everyone knows, true religion is about, man, I'm doing it in my heart because I want to know God. Why are you reading your verses every week? Is it so you'll know the answers in small groups? Or is it because you'll know God? You see how different those two are? Can everybody see those are different? Everybody shake your head and see those are different. Okay, one view, I'm reading Genesis 21 so I'll know the answers. The other one, I'm reading Genesis 21 because I want to know God. You see the difference? How many of you think that's a big difference? How many of you think God is happy over on this side? Show of hands. How many of you think God is like, yes, over on this side? No. He's like, why are you even reading it? Just why? See the difference? They're making long prayers. It sounds really good. They've got every word of Leviticus 19:2 down. They weren't connecting it. Because they wanted to be holy like God is holy. They just wanted to be noticed by everyone else. So this is this picture of false religion that Jesus is showing us. And then we have this great situation that arises. And Jesus is, after this happens, then he's teaching in the temple. And I want to kind of give you an idea of where this is. We got a slide for the temple. This is Solomon's temple that we're going to bring up. And we know by the background that Jesus is actually in the women's courtyards. Everybody see the courtyard right there? It's got the big arrow. Now, you've got to understand there was regulations on where certain people could go in the temple. Holy of Holies was for the high priest. But then you had outside of that was the priest's courtyard. And then you had Israel's courtyard. And then you had the courtyard of the men and the courtyard of the women. And then outside of all of this, you had the courtyard of the Gentiles. So if you were a Gentile, you can only go there. If you're a woman, you can only go there. If you're a man, you go a little further. If you're a priest, you go a little further. If you're the high priest, you could go the further. It's only one day a year. So that's kind of where Jesus is at. Now, you kind of see that's kind of a small space, right? That's like the size of a football field. Huge area. Massive amount of people. Jesus is teaching. And notice what happens. It says he looks up. And Jesus looks up and he notices something. And I want to get back to there. But here, real quickly, I want to kind of give you a definition of when we're talking about religion, false religion and true religion. What is false religion? Well, here's Corey's definition of what false religion is according to this text, okay? We're going to bring up on the screen here. So false religion, we'll go to that slide, is this. It's external acts for others to see. It's all about who? Others. Others to see. Motivated by internal what? Pride and selfish gain. Does that sound good? No. God is not happy with that. Because it's all about what? Look at me. I'm doing everything right. So praise me and love me and exalt me. Why are you doing things that are right? Because you want selfish gain. You want pride. You want to get something. Now, that's what the scribes were doing. That's why Jesus is warning us not to be like the scribes. So what exactly is true religion? We're going to have the next slide. Here's what true religion is. External acts for what? God's glory. Do you see how much different that is? It's external acts. You still have to do something, but it's for whose glory? God's glory. False religion is about whose glory? My glory. It's about people seeing me. This is about people seeing the glory of God. Motivated by internal humility and love for who? God. So I ask you, why do you do the things you do? Is it so people see you because you're prideful and you want selfish gain? Or is it so people will see God because you're humble and you love him? See how much different those are? Now, some of you got a cavity right down here in your soul and you're like, yeah, but I don't want to deal with this. No, deal with it. Bring it out. Bring it out. Get the drill out. Let God do his work. It's going to be painful, but I promise it will be for your good. So that's kind of a deal with, okay, false religion and true religion. Now, I want to kind of just clear up religion just a little bit, because in our culture, we're really, you know, famous, kind of our generation, to say something like this. Jesus hates religion. How many of you guys have heard that before? Right? I mean, we see t-shirts, right? Jesus hates religion. I hate religion. Jesus hates religion. Now, I just want to say, Jesus does not hate religion. Okay? He hates false religion. He loves true religion. Okay? In fact, James kind of sums up what religion is in the end of James chapter 1. And what does he say? Here's what religion is. It's taking care of the widows. It's taking care of the orphans. And it's staying away from the sins of the world. That's what, now, do you think Jesus hates those things? No, he loves those things. See, Jesus, he likes true religion. Religion that is that. It is outward things that are motivated by love of God. That is what true religion is. And here we're going to see it lived out. We're going to see it in flesh and bones in this poor widow. Now here's the context. Jesus is teaching, and he's in the courtyard of the women. He's teaching to all these people, right? Men and women, everybody's there. And in this courtyard, there are these treasury boxes where people come and give a free will offering to help the temple pay its dues and pay its bills and pay the ministers and all that kind of stuff. So people come in, and I'm told these treasury boxes, they're in the shape of trumpets. And what you do, you put your money in the trumpet, and it kind of makes a noise. So when you put it in, people kind of know how much you give or how much you don't give. And here these guys and girls are coming in, and they're just dumping. They're like, boom, whole piggy bank. Hey, you looking, you know? Check this out, giving a lot. Everybody's kind of looking like, whoa, look at him. Man. He's got a lot. He sure is holy. Look how much he's given to the temple. And you probably got the priest. They're like, good job. Way to keep giving. All right. You know, so everybody's coming in. And they've got these huge wallets. They're laying down all this money. And it looks like, man, these are the super Christians. They're giving a bunch of money. And it says Jesus looks up and he sees what's going on. And first of all, just imagine this. Here's what's comforting to me. Jesus noticed what goes on planet Earth. Have you ever thought about that? Like, Jesus notices what's happening. Now, what's going on in Jesus' life? He's about to get betrayed. He's about to get arrested. He's about to go on trial. He's about to go to a cross. He's about to die. A whole lot of things on his mind, right? Like, you've got homework on your mind. He had, I'm about to die on a cross on his mind. A lot of stuff going on, right? But yet, he notices this widow. He notices an injustice that's going on. And he notices, and he looks, and he's going to comment on it. So, Jesus, man, he knows your situation. He knows what's happening in your school. He knows what's happening at home. He sees and he cares is one of the big points that we see in this story. Man, Jesus is noticing. He's looking. And what does he see? He sees this woman. Can you imagine being this woman? Just put yourself in her shoes real quick. She's a poor widow. Now, in society, she is like nothing. And here's what's amazing. Jesus sees the one that no one else sees. That's huge. Jesus sees the one that no one else sees. No one is looking at this widow. No one's like, oh, look at this widow. Look at her coming. She must be holy. Man, she's a child of God. No, she's forgotten. Nobody's looking at her. And what happens? She comes in, and imagine this. The guy in front of you is just pouring in money. He's just pouring in money. And then you come, and you've got nothing. And you reach around, and finally you find these two little coins. Now, these coins, it's kind of hard to know exactly how much it was because currency is always changing. But these two coins were the smallest currency they had at that time. I'm told they're like less than a penny. Okay? Both of these together is less than a penny. So here you've got these people that are just dumping money in a box. And here this old woman comes. Can you imagine? How many of you think you'd feel embarrassed at this point? Anybody? Shameful? Right? How many of you think would say, and does this really even matter that I give? Like, this is going to do nothing to this elaborate temple. This is going to do nothing to help anything. I've just got this. This is all I've got. So this girl, she comes up. I mean, imagine if you're like in church on Sunday morning and you're sitting there and the offering plate passes and everyone in the row is just like, Benjamin, 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 stack of Benjamins, $1,000, $1,000, and you got a penny. That's all you got. That's all you have to live on because you're poor. You've got nothing. Now, how tempted would you be just to not put anything in? Like, I forgot mine. I'll get next week. I got my Benjamins back at home, you know. I'll wait. But so this woman, she's at this. Everybody's looking. Everybody knows. And she drops her coins in. And I can just imagine the laughs, the snickers. You know, you've got like a group of teens over here. Like, did you see what she put in? What's that going to buy? Nothing. Look at her. Has she not got more than that? Like, can you imagine? Like, people were probably making fun of her. They're laughing at her. They're kind of cutting up. Like, that's going to buy a lot. What's God going to do with that? And it's amazing. Jesus, he notices this, and it says he looks up. And you've got this. He's, like, intently looking at the situation, and it's amazing what he teaches. Here's what he says. He says, truly. I love this word, truly. It is amazing when Jesus says the word truly. Because when he uses the word truly, it's the word in the context has never been used up until this point in history like Jesus uses it. And here's what Jesus means when he says truly. I'm about to say something, and the reason it's true is only based on the fact that I've said it and nothing else. Now, when we make a statement, what do we like to do? Like maybe quote things? Hey, according to so-and-so, here's this fact. Jesus says, here's the truth, and it's true because I said it's true. That's it. I don't have to back it up anything because what I say is true. Now, what does that say about him? He's God, right? Only God can make a statement. He says, truly, I say to you, listen to what he says. This poor widow has put in more than all of them. Erk! Hold up. What? I mean, you imagine a group of people. Everyone sees what happens. Guy dumps a bag of $100 bills in the offering. Some girl goes and cuts a penny in half and throws half the penny in there. And Jesus says, man, that girl's penny is worth way more than all that other money. What? Jesus, teacher, you're very smart, but when it comes to money, we'll take care of your checkbook. Because that's not right. I mean, it's kind of crazy what he says here, right? Now, why does he say that what this girl gave is more than what all of the other people, all of these who are just dumping loads of money, and why is the girl's more? Here's what Jesus says. For they all contributed out of their what? Abundance. But she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had. Here's why this girl's offering was worth more than all of the other offerings. Because all of these other people, they were contributing to the Lord's work out of their abundance. In other words, they had so much of everything, and they loved everything they had, and they say, you know what, God, here's off the very top of what we had, here's some money, and it's a lot of money, but to us, it doesn't even affect us at all. It doesn't hurt at all. It doesn't matter to us. It's we've got so much, here's you a little bit. We're going to give you this. But here's what this girl does that is so much different. She walks up, and she doesn't say, I'm going to give you part of what I have. She says, I'm going to give you all that I have. All of it. And here's what I think is truly different about false religion and true religion. False religion gives some of what you have to God. Now, I think in the text, Jesus is talking about money here, but I think the illustration is so much bigger than money. I think Jesus is really getting to our lives and who we are when it comes to God. And what he's saying is, look, here's what people just deep in false religion do. They pursue self, and they give me their leftovers. They give me what's out of the abundance. See, abundance, it literally means your leftovers. Like you've got so much, you can't fit it all in the sack. You're trying to close the sack. You're like, I can't get this in there. I'll give it to God. He'll love that. So you've got your life. It's packed with stuff. It's packed with pursuits. But you're like, you know what, God? I'll give you Wednesday night. It's all yours. But the rest of the week, it's all mine. So you pursue self. You pursue your ambitions. You pursue sin. You pursue everything else. But then you give God a little bit. I'll give you a Sunday morning here and there. I'll give you an impact here and there, but the whole thing, it's mine. Here's what false religion does. It pursues self and then gives God what's left over. Now, what does true religion does? It comes to God and it says, you know what, God? I am all in. Everything I have, it's yours. You see, I'm not going to pursue me and give you what's left over. No, I'm going to pursue you. And I'm going to give you every single thing I have. All I am is yours. I'm all in. So tonight, here's what I want to ask you. When it comes to your relationship with God, are you all in? Are you like this widow who comes and says, you know what, I don't have much, but all I have is yours? You see, one thing about false religion, it's people think too highly of themselves. Man, I'm so great. I'll pursue my life and I'll give God what's left over. But you know what false religion sees? Man, I'm really nothing apart from God. I am nothing. I am a sinner apart from God, destined for hell. That's it. See, you're like this poor widow. You realize I'm bankrupt. I have nothing. So this life that I have that is absolutely nothing, it's like less than a penny. God, I give it to you. I'm all in. Every bit of me is given to you. So I ask you tonight, are you all in? Or are you just giving God some of your life? Are you just giving him what's left over? See, that would be false religion. You're just giving God a little part of your life, but not your whole life. Here's this woman who comes and she says, I'm all in. Every bit of me is yours. And what does Jesus say? She has contributed more. Why? Because she gave everything. It wasn't out of what's left over. It wasn't out of her abundance. No, it was out of the very best. She came to me and gave me her very life. She's all in. You know, when I was One of my best friends in the world is Caleb Staley. And we always have this little saying between each other, and it's go big or go home. Me and Casey have used that quite a bit. It's just one of the things that we all kind of threw around a lot. Go big or go home. And what that means is you either do it or just go home. How have you guys ever heard that before? Okay? That's kind of what I'm getting at here. Okay? Either go big, all in, or just go home. Now, I'll tell you a little context of when I use that. Recently, actually it wasn't real recently, it was several years ago, we went to a youth leader retreat in Gatlinburg. And we're going to this youth retreat in Gatlinburg, and I'm driving the church van, okay? How many of you guys have been to Gatlinburg? Okay, huge mountain, right? Way up there mountain. Well, our cabin's at the very top of the mountain, and it's like 12 o'clock at night. I'm driving the van, and I've got like 12 of us leaders who were in the van. That's like all the leaders we had at that point, but it was awesome. So we're driving up this mountain. We're going up, and we're trying to find this cabin, and we can't find it. And we're going through all these roads, and if you've been to Gatlinburg, the roads are like this big. Like, you can't walk on them hardly. Much yet, I'm in a church van. So we get to the very top, and there's like this road that I'm looking, and I'm like, maybe I should go down that. I'm like, no, I don't think I should. And everybody's like, yeah, go down it. I'm like, no, I'm going to play it safe. They're like, chicken, just go. So I'm like, I'm going to get out and look at this. So I get out and have a flashlight, and it was a dune buggy trail, like with ramps as soon as you went off. So I'm like, thank you. I just saved everyone's life. But the problem was the road was at a dead end. So we had to turn around on a road that's this big with a van that's about this big. I'm already like on two wheels in this thing, right? So there was an incline here and the road split like this. So I've got the van. I'm trying to back up and get around like this. But I've got this incline. It's like a triangle that I can't get enough to actually turn. So I've got one wheel kind of off of it. And the other wheel, I'm like, I'm stuck. I can't do anything. I can't go anywhere. So what I do? I hear from the back. What? Go big or go home. Right? He's like, just gun it. So what I do? I'm like, all right. Whoom. And I kid you not, the church van like jumps. Now don't tell our insurance this or the people in charge of the driving committee. Because I won't ever be able to drive again. But anyways, so we literally get on two wheels and jump over this little like ravine and land on the other side. And we make it. Everything's good. We're like, yeah. The next morning, we go back there just to look at it. And it was 100 feet straight down ravine. Like, if we would have not have made it, we would all have died. I'm serious. But here I am. It's like, I got one of two choices. Either I can go big and jump across this ravine with a church van, or I can do what? Go home. Now, only do that with leaders, never with students. So parents, feel free. This is only with leaders. But I had a choice. It's like either go big or go home. Now, here's what I want you to get tonight. You've got two choices. You can either go big or go home. And when it comes to Christ, it's not like, hey, I'll just kind of do my thing and I'll give him a little bit and then we're all good. No, it's you. You're all in. Here's a woman who said, all I've got is yours. I'm laying it at your feet. I am all in. I'm going big and there's nothing left. And you know what? It is dangerous. It is scary. Because even chasing Christ, there's a 100-foot ravine at every point. And guess what? If you follow him, you will die. But in dying, guess what you'll do? You'll live. It's the gospel, right? We die, but we live through the gospel. So I ask you tonight, are you all in? Are you abandoned for the sake of Christ? I'm going to have the band come up, and we're going to sing another couple of songs. And I want this to be a response time for you. There's a reason we keep the last two songs to the end is because we hope the Spirit has revealed some cavities in your soul. There's some big things that are going on. Some of you are in false religion. You're not chasing Christ. You're only giving him your leftovers. You need to be all in. All in for the sake of Christ. So what we're going to do is we're going to have a response time. And here's what my hope is, that you've been convicted, that you need to repent. And if you just want to come up here and do some work with God, come up here and repent of being stagnant in your faith. Repent of not being like this woman who is giving everything she has. You're just giving God a little bit. Say, God, I'm all in. I'm throwing everything I've got at you, and I'm dying to self, and I'm living for you. Just come up here and just pour that out to God. If you need to become a Christian for the first time, you've never repented for your faith and trust in Christ, our leaders are going to be looking. Just go to the back. They'll take you into the foyer, and they'll talk about how you can put your faith and trust in Christ. For the rest of us, let's worship. Let's give worth to the God who has given us everything. So where are you at? Are you all in? Are you holding back? What has the Spirit revealed to you? Where's that cavity? Where does the drill need to start going? Oh, it hurts, but it's for your good. I'm going to pray and then enter into a time of worship. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his word. We thank you for the story of this widow who seemed like a no one, who Jesus saw as someone who was more important than everyone else there because she was all in for Christ. God, I pray tonight that we would be all in so that you get honor and glory with our lives. We pray this in the good name of Jesus. Amen.